Hello and welcome. You're listening to the You Do Woo podcast, and I'm your host, Allison Cullen. I'm a mom with a background in business and counseling, but I've always been tapped into the more woo-woo side of everyday life. I'm here to take you on an exploration of your spirituality, give you helpful life hacks, help you on this evolution through motherhood, and give you a weekly dose of useful woo. If you need your cup filled, your mind expanded, and you want to increase your manifestation abilities at the same time, you've come to the right place. Let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Happy eclipse season. We are 2 days into this eclipse season. I hope the full moon and lunar eclipse treated you well. If you don't know anything about what has been going on in the next couple of weeks, go back and listen to last week's podcast episode. It's short, it's sweet, and it gives you all of the details that you need and a few resources for making the most of the next few weeks because they're very powerful and very potent, and you can jump a lot of timelines during this time. It's pretty cool. Today's episode is really wonderful. It is with a dear friend of mine. Her name is Lauren Bernard. She is a 2-5 manifesting generator, and you'll hear her story in the episode, but she truly embodies the like ultimate Manny Gen, having a business umbrella that covers a lot of different facets and passions that she has and superpowers that she has. So if you are a Manny Gen, today's episode is definitely a must listen for you, and Lauren would be a really good role model or expander for you to have. Speaking of, Lauren is a member of my Alchemy membership, and she also participated in my last 5-spot mastermind. So this mastermind is a Voxer-only mastermind. We're on the third round of it now. The next round of it starts on Monday. Well, it might end up being Tuesday, April 9th, just because April 8th is the solar eclipse. We don't have school because we are in the path of totality and we have an eclipse party to go to. So it will be starting Tuesday, April 9th, going for 5 weeks. There will be 5 women in it. Send me a DM that says 5-spot if you feel like this might be a fun thing for you to participate in April. It's going to be really good. We don't have a theme for April yet. We might not have a theme. Some of our past themes have been starting a podcast, Kabbalah. The current one we're doing is on money, and it's been real good so far. But it's a really potent group. If you have not participated yet, you will want to at some point this year. And I'd love to have you in for the one starting on April 9th. So send me a DM that says 5-spot if you want all the details or if you have any questions. And I will also be doing with most of my 5-spot members, I would love to do an episode with you. We might end up doing a one-on-one episode, and I might do a few that are groups. So like everybody who is in the Money Voxer group, we might do one together. Same for Alchemy. If you have been a member of Alchemy in the past, I believe I started it February 2023. So if you have been a member of Alchemy in the last 13 months or are a current member and you would like an opportunity to be on the podcast, send me a DM that just says Alchemy podcast. I might do a few one-offs, like one-on-one with members, and I might do a couple of group podcasts as well, just because there's been so many amazing topics that we've touched on inside of Alchemy, and I sort of want all my listeners to know what that is like and what we've been talking about. So those are my 2 announcements. Our next Alchemy call is actually going to be Wednesday the 3rd, April 3rd. I usually do every other Monday, but April 1st is a school holiday. So I'm not working that day. And so we will do a makeup call on Wednesday, April 3rd at the normal time. DM me if you need the information for that, and then we'll go again back to our every other Monday on Monday, April 15th. I am just very grateful for each of you for listening to this every week. send me a DM if we haven't chatted back and forth yet. I'd love to meet you and connect with you and know a little bit more about you. And I just appreciate you being a loyal listener. Enjoy today's episode, and I'll see you guys next week. I'm really, really happy today because I have one of my really good friends and fellow podcasters now, Miss Lauren Bernard, here with us on the show. Welcome to the show, Lauren. We're excited to have you.
It's so fun to be on this end of your podcast because I'm obsessed with it.
Yay. I think I met you a year ago or a little over a year ago. You are actually one of the last human design readings I did before we moved, which I like remember it specifically because Cam was doing something in the kitchen, like renovating something. So I had to go be in the garage. And luckily our Wi-Fi worked, but I remember that. Yeah, it was great. I remember that specifically, especially because you are a 2-5 profile. And I think I've only done one other reading for someone with a 2-5 profile. And it was way in the beginning. And I don't even remember when it was. It was a long time ago. And it was before I did like all the profile episodes and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm excited for this episode. We're going to talk about a lot of different things because you're a Manigen and you're a true Manigen who does all of the things. And I'm going to let you tell your story here in a second. But I wanted to touch really quick on the 2-5 profile with people just because it's extremely rare. And I know there's a lot of listeners who have some of those more rare profiles. And, you know, I'm sure you've listened to the episode on 2-5 several times and dove into all the things. You're getting ready to get certified in human design and all of that kind of stuff. So you know this very well, but not everybody does. And it's just really interesting to touch on. Because I've seen this, like, sort of, I've seen you bloom into this profile in real life over the past several months. We've worked together for over a year now. You've been in Alchemy. And then we just finished up the 5-spot mastermind. So I've had the honor of getting to talk to you pretty much every day, all day, every day, some of the days. Which has been so fun. But it's an interesting profile because as a 2-5, I'm a 6-2, so it's a, you know, there's differences for sure. But you have this very big superpower of being a powerful leader, a very capable leader, but most because of the 2 and the 5 and this sort of tension between them, you sometimes like really cling, like 2-5s can cling to the hermit part and not see their capabilities of being a powerful leader. And I think over the past couple of months, you've really stepped in more than that. It's been since like November or so, I really think. You have really stepped into the leadership part of it and seeing your gifts and seeing how very special you are. And I'm so freaking proud of you for starting your podcast. I know that just by the time that this airs, it will have been out for like 4 days. So congratulations. I'm going to put the link for that below. It's called Nourish You, like University. And I've listened to the trailer and I'm going to be binging the first few episodes once it comes out, but it's already out by the time this episode is coming out. So definitely go check her out. But how has that felt? I mean, I feel like that as an MG, I've been pushing you to start a podcast for a while because I just knew that it would be a big deal. But how do you think that like making the decision to finally do it sort of activated that leadership quality in you?
You know, I've loved podcasts since they came across in reality. Mm-hmm. You know, I love listening to, I also love, I'm a sponge, like learner is one of my top gifts. And I just love learning different things, getting different input from different perspectives, like having access at your fingertips of like when you're curious about something, being able to search it. So I've always been fascinated by it and wondered about what that would be like. Mm-hmm. So and I came to you with your human design reading, like at a pretty transitional time, I think as a 2-5, I was a classroom teacher for a long time. And one of the last few months of that job, I learned about my profile. And I think it was my friend Jess Perillo that sent me to your podcast. And I was listening to it, and like, especially around energy type and the frustration, like I had seen my chart and looked at it and thought it was, oh, that's cool, but never like dove into it. And so I think as a teacher, there were pieces of me that knew that I'm a very capable leader, mm-hmm. but I also felt so frustrated so often that it was like, through reflection about that, just like, what is it that's so misaligned here? Because I definitely could start to feel in the last couple of years of that teaching job, other people's projections and like the need to save the day. But I also am so aware of my 2, mm-hmm. of like, I just need some frigging space. I just want to do my thing. Like, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And I used to say that even when I started out right out of college and I was full-time teaching, which is never just a 40-hour job, especially when you're brand new at it. I was like, just, you know, like I remember telling my coworker as I was like draping against the wall, I'm just not made for this. like a baby, like a whiny little adult baby. And I would shame myself tremendously about it. And so learning that that's just kind of part of my makeup, also that I lean manifester and that I don't have like access to daily like willpower and motivation. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff was so affirming and like, okay, I can stop beating myself up about it. And when I learned that, like, I really am here to step into that leadership, it's something that I think I knew, mm-hmm. but I was also like, yeah, no, really. Mm-hmm. Do I have to?
One thing for you too, that I think you've been sort of playing around with is like, yeah, I know that I'm a leader at heart, but you have so many gifts and so many skills and this like big umbrella over the business that is Lauren Bernard, that it's like, well, which one should I be a leader in? And it's like, well, that's the beauty of being a mani gen, is that you get to be a leader in all of them and just dabble and talk about what is exciting to you that day.
That was also so much fun to learn and like to stew on that for a while, because I had had other memberships I was a part of, other coaching things. I've tried all this stuff. And when I would try to seek advice about why I'm not like getting momentum in a certain thing, it'd be like, well, you're doing too many things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, right. Well, but I don't know what thing to stop doing.
Yeah. Everything's a heck yes.
Yeah. And then I kind of would just like stop doing the things because I was like, maybe I'm doing too many things. And then I never knew which direction to sort of like walk in next. Mm-hmm. But what feels so good is that now I feel like, yeah, I can teach yoga. I can teach about human design and have coaching. I can share about recipes and Ayurveda and holistic nutrition that lights me up. And I can be a fully present mom and householder, and I can travel, and it all can work. But that is the beauty of being a mani gen, especially when you stop, like, I don't know, being irritated with yourself for not being like, I dig one hole really deep, mm-hmm. Which some of my mentors have like actually said like that, you know, and it's not that I'm not doing that. It's just that I'm doing it from lots of different angles, but it is all under one sort of holistic approach, body, mind, and soul wellness with a lot of different like entry points.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody finds their way to themselves in any one way. So. Yeah.
Totally. One thing that I'm excited to watch happen over the next few months is just the growth of your business and the growth of you, because of you using, not only it's great for a mani gen, especially leaning manifester, to have a podcast to speak, especially if that's like something that is a yes and lights you up. But your voice is just one of the most buttery, smooth, amazing voices ever. I was talking to your podcast producer last week. I recorded with him about human design, and we were talking about you. And I was like, she should have started a podcast like 10 years ago. Like your voice is, you are meant to talk. You are meant to speak, and you're meant to use that gift because it is very soothing to people's nervous systems. Like I have a powerful voice. I think it's very, it's very like informative, and it's strong in its own ways, but it does not soothe people's nervous systems whatsoever. And you totally have that gift. So it's going to be really interesting to see how freaking fast it grows, just because so many people are in such need of being able to just turn somebody on that soothes them. That's also great information, you know, yeah. Great resources.
Thank you. I've gotten a lot of that feedback. Mm-hmm. And when I first started teaching yoga, I've always had kind of a soft-spoken voice. Mm-hmm. So I taught kindergarten. My mother-in-law speaks really soft, and people would say like, you know, you just kind of like woo the kids into being quiet and calm. And at times though, it would come in teaching yoga that I was too soft-spoken. People mm-hmm. couldn't hear. And so a friend of mine was like, I think what it is you just have to get out of the way. Like you have to remember that this is not about you. Like you're actually being selfish. Mm-hmm. You're being selfish because you're not letting what wants to come through to the other people who have come here. And the more I sort of honed that, I think it was one of the most healing things I could have done in that rippled out into other areas of my life, because kind of like not being heard, or yeah, just like finding the two aspect of myself and like introspection and like working on my own little projects. There's something that using my voice over the last 8 years or so of regularly teaching in studios and gyms and on retreat and privates and things like that, that has allowed something. And I think you said this in our reading about just like, it's important, like it's vital to your health that you start to use your voice mm-hmm. to move energy that wants to express through you.
Yeah.
Like that's actually going to keep you healthy. And I was like, this makes so much sense, because the more I would lean into, okay, well, for example, there's little things that would get in the way of me having like a good class mm-hmm. where I would realize my voice is like maybe like a little pitchy or like really shy or nervous, like sweaty armpits, like mm-hmm. I can't get the words out, or they're like, I'm like slurring or maybe even like lisping. I don't know. And I realized like things like, oh, you can't drink coffee before you teach, because if you don't, like, so I had to reexamine like a relationship there, and I was like, oh, it's so much better. I'm flowing so much better. And it just, little things like that started trickling over into my life. Even the thing with alcohol, like I couldn't do yoga teacher training and I couldn't like get up in the morning and know that I was going to have like a solid mm-hmm. week of rigorous practice and study and have young kids and maintain all the other things. While, you know, I couldn't afford that. And then the same thing sort of started happening. And that just kind of fell away as I was committing to not being selfish and letting things come through to my voice. And, I had the best compliment this past week after, a yin yoga class, which is like very restorative and meditative and stretching. And it was like, he asked, do you have a degree in literature? Cause you speak like a well-written book. That's like the best compliment I've ever given. But the thing is, like, I do feel like when I remove myself, I don't even know where the words come from. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just allow them and they come. And feel other people's energy. So something about teaching yoga is absolutely what I'm supposed to do. But I feel like a very similar thing is translating into podcast. Mm-hmm. Because being in intimate conversation and like one-on-one with people is also one of my gifts and something I'm obsessed with spending time doing, going like deep with people. So being able to do that in an interview and also continue to share the gazillion ideas I have and all of the information I've soaked up is so much fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it serves people.
It's going to be amazing. Just so everybody knows, her incarnation cross is the right angle cross of Eden, which we're going to dive into here in a little bit, because I've done quite a few readings with people with this incarnation cross. And my husband has it too, which is interesting because y'all are born on the same day, but different years. And it's like, what? It's just interesting. Sometimes it's like a birthday, even if it's different years, that has mm-hmm. the same cross. So when you're a true Manigen, you have a business that's just a big umbrella that has room to cover many subjects. I will say eventually you should add voice coaching to that. That just came through and I was like, yes. I haven't told her that before and you totally should. As far as like, I mean, I would come learn from you just because there's so many people, whether you're a podcaster or just trying to talk on mm-hmm. Instagram, you know, on social media, the voice is so, so powerful. And there's not that many voice coaches for podcasters out there. So just another idea for you, not that you need another one, but tell us a little bit about, I know you're a yoga instructor, but tell us about each of your teaching areas and skills.
So within yoga itself, there's not really a form of yoga I have not tried or love. Mm-hmm. What I teach most is, I think probably my yin classes resonate deepest. I'd had one of those this morning and it's always it's like equally fulfilling for me. And I also love teaching forms of vinyasa. So I teach a slow flow. I teach a hot vinyasa, which is kind of fun. And I get to be in my masculine. And someone said earlier this week that you just come off with this like angelic thing. And then all of a sudden I'm dying. And like, where did that come from? And so, don't let me fool you because I am a fire sign after all.
Yes.
And it's a great way to express that. So it comes from an ancient practice called Ashtanga, which is kind of where like Bikram and hot yoga sort of all evolved from, that has like a set sequence. And I do sub Ashtanga. That's what I like to practice personally. I love the like true ancient form. I love the quiet, but it's also quite rigorous. I love the breath and it just feels incredibly complete in your body, mm-hmm. but it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's where all vinyasa classes come from. So I teach that. I teach, I'm newly teaching about human design because since I met you a year ago, I've been obsessed with it every day since. Yay. And reading everything, like listening to everything I can possibly get my hands on, taking your courses, reading Jenna Zoe's book. And then of course, like the biggest thing I think implementing is like finding other people's charts. So mm-hmm. I would, you know, obsess about, you know, my kids and my husband and my parents and my sister. This is one thing I wanted to point out. There's something in your episode about the 2-5 where you kind of feel like you're always sort of searching for someone who gets you. Mm-hmm. Well, the crazy thing is she's a 2-5.
What?
Generator. And so we were given each other, which is incredible.
That is nuts. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I've always had her, which has been amazing. She has some differences. She's sacral, not emotional. Obviously there's always those differences. And I can't remember I don't think she leans manifestor, but anywho. Let's see. So I am now teaching because I couldn't stop just saying, hey, have you looked at your human design chart, to like everyone I meet after probably 15 or 20 friend sort of casual readings or shares or whatever, me digging into things or sending them things. I decided, actually I got invited to do like a little one-on-one, a 101 training for my mastermind group. So I had a mastermind group last year that I had about 6 women in. So I did a little training for them. And then the group that I participate in, the Awaken Mastermind with Jess Perillo, she's amazing, is I did recently a training for them.
Nice.
And since then, just before that, like as soon as she asked me, before I had even done it, it was like all of a sudden everyone's asking me about it. And I was asked if I had an offer before I had an offer.
Yeah, that's so great. Like,
I do have an offer. Let me get you the link.
Waiting to respond. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then since then, I just continue to get booked for it. And it's really fun. My sister-in-law was just telling me yesterday that she thinks that it's such a great way to find those intimate conversations and to share all of the different things. So it's not just necessarily looking at your chart and explaining what you could sort of research on your own. Obviously, you save people that time and energy to do that. But there's a way that I think each individual person, because I've had a couple of readings done in my chart, and you just get a totally different sort of insight and extra additional like coaching from their unique set of perspectives. So I'm teaching yoga, I'm teaching human design, and then I'm also teaching cooking. So I have an ebook on my website that I facilitated a wellness retreat last November in Carmel, California. It was epic. And so I actually cooked for the women, but also led a little bit of yoga. But the whole point was to have them in the company of sharing food. Mm-hmm. And like the ritual of nourishing your body and being really present with the whole process of infusing like your love, your energy into what you eat and to what you share with others. And in that way, I really feel like we're able to share light mm-hmm. and to nourish ourselves. So that was super fun. And I created an ebook for that retreat. And I have that available for purchase on my website. And I think I'm stepping into teaching a little bit more basics about all of that, because those recipes are fairly intricate. Mm-hmm. They're for someone who's pretty seasoned or interested in cooking kind of a little bit more complicated, but also like very whole and delicious. Mm-hmm. But that's not always realistic. So in the like navigating our busy lives, that's not how I cook on every single day, especially in the season that I'm in with like stop starting things all day long with teenagers. You'll find out someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm thinking of moving into teaching more around Ayurveda in the way that it pertains to cooking and eating in a really simple way to balance your energy. That's something that I'm stepping into probably later this year. As well as the yoga and the human design.
That is amazing. I'm going to be learning from you for that as well, because that's one thing. It was so interesting when I made my vision board this year and when I sort of wrote out my goals for 2024, they're so different than any year before. Like one of the things is enjoy cooking, like actually enjoy cooking. And it's nice because Cam likes to cook too. So it's not like I have to do it for every meal, and I don't want to, but I'd love once or twice a week to be able to have that time to cook and to really use it as a presence practice. Right. And for Caroline to see both of her parents, you know, both of her parents cooking for her, and to not only, I don't know, like not only provide healthy, good tasting meals, but provide meals that are like what you were saying, like really infuse it with intention. Mm-hmm. I think that's like such a big deal and something I really have never practiced and sort of need somebody to guide me baby steps wise on. So I think you'll have a market for that when you start doing that.
I do think it's sometimes those things that come naturally to us, we don't realize that it's not like that for everyone. And it's not like that all the time, but for sure, I am very intentional about like, all right, and sometimes you need 3 hours to be that way. Mm-hmm. so that you can have like the quality, fun, spontaneous family time that comes out of it, mm-hmm. where you're all sort of doing a little bit together, and like what, whether it's the prepping and you're kind of tasting along the way, or even in the cleaning up aspect, or mm-hmm. lingering at the table and telling stories, like that, it does take time, but mm-hmm. isn't that what matters most?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I do like, I'm very intentional about it a couple of days a week. It used to be a little bit more often, but I'm okay with that. It's just, it is what it is. And now I'm like, take it when I can get it and yeah. whenever we're around, and I'm, want it to be even more intentional. Like I'm still growing in this area. There's times when it's a struggle to get everybody to turn their phones off, or mm-hmm. to put them away, or to turn the TV off, or to like, you know, I don't want to ask again if you'll come and help with the dishes, because it's more fun when we're all together, you know, and just like setting all those boundaries can be a challenge, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, where it's at, but you do the best you can and try to enjoy little bits of it the best you can.
One thing that I'm realizing why I think that I've been having a struggle enjoying cooking is in my late 20s, early 30s, I actually enjoyed cooking, but it was cooking while drinking wine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Very fun.
Yeah. And it was like this whole ritual. And then when I stopped drinking in 2021, when I took a whole year off, I was like, I don't want to cook anymore. Like it was a trigger. It was those things were linked together, if that makes sense. Like the act of cooking made me want to drink. So yeah. That year was when Cam really took over cooking, which I'm so grateful for, because then that really, I was able to rewire my brain of like not having wine every night, you know, at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. So that's great. But now that I don't need that to cook, and they're not attached anymore, it's mm-hmm. like having to relearn the enjoyment of something without that extra. Isn't that crazy?
Oh yeah. I think I went through that too. And one thing I found my way to was, even if like you're by yourself doing some of the initial prep or something, or whether other people are around kind of participating in it, having some fun music on mm-hmm. is so helpful. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even like get into your body a little bit and dance a little bit, blow off some steam in that way. Mm-hmm. You can make yourself a mocktail mm-hmm. to have it feel like a transition in the day and a little bit more fun and festive, like to cue like a settling in your nervous system. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely love to like, I don't know, just be silly in the kitchen and spontaneous and like enjoy the process. If there's a mess, whatever, and try to like be a little playful and have fun with whoever is around. It can be really fun. I had a difficult time, I'd say, with that and bath time without wine. Yep.
I still pour myself a sparkling water in a wine glass for bath, because that's just my like little special time. And I freaking love it. Like it's just, I need a wine glass with a beverage in it for my bathtub, and that's okay. So I probably need to do the same thing for cooking. Anyways, I'm excited to learn from you with that. Okay, this is crazy, because today, when we're recording, I think we just had some intense solar flares last night. I woke up at 1 a.m. and the morning was good. And then the early afternoon was like, oh my God, what is happening? It feels like I don't drink anymore, but it feels like I drank two bottles of wine last night and I'm having like an energetic hangover, like this sense of depression and despair. And I feel better now, but like for about an hour and a half, it was just like this exhaustion, depression, despair, not good feeling for no external reason. There was nothing bad that happened whatsoever, other than maybe lack of sleep. And I was talking to you about it before we pressed record, and you're like, welcome to the emotional wave. This is not fun. I do not like I'm not emotional, but for the next week my solar plexus is defined, so I'm going to be having these kind of things. You are an emotional, and I know you've gone through waves. Are sometimes they, like, how long do they last? Or sometimes they're just a day and sometimes a week or more. How do the waves show up for you? What was the last one like that you went through? And I'd love for you to give our listeners some tips and resources for when they're going through one.
Okay. So I think it depends. It depends on a lot of different things, whether you feel it a short amount of time, maybe it's literally minutes. Sometimes the more proactive I have been, the faster I can move through it. There are other times that it can last for days, even like close to a week, especially. So one of the things I was talking about in my class today is what we resist persists. And so I would say that's the biggest thing when it comes to your wave. I love what Jenna Zoe said in that recent podcast that she posted about when you're an emotional two, remember that you're more like the radio station frequency and the song is the wave, and to just allow it to move through you, like you're listening to the lyrics, you're feeling the sense of all of the emotion that's coming through without wondering why Taylor Swift is playing right now, or why, you know what I mean? Or why that, like, don't question what's playing. Don't search for the cause. That was so helpful. And so ever since, I don't know when I listened to that, if it was like a month, I don't know, time's been weird, but maybe it was about a month ago. And I've been practicing it as I've been feeling these waves and kind of like reflecting on it when I write about them. So I do, let's just say, like, this last weekend, I had a wave very similar to what you've been experiencing. And I would say it lasted a day and a half because a couple of different things that just kind of make it worse. So I wasn't able to be as proactive. And when I say that, I mean, my yoga practice is essential for me. I started practicing when I was 19, when I was in a very low, dark place. I was completely lost, had no direction, felt a lot of just depression and directionlessness, even though maybe on the outside, it seemed like I was just a typical 19-year-old going to college, trying to figure it out. And I missed moving my body, and that was all I really knew. And for whatever reason, I needed an elective, and I thought yoga, that sounds like stretching. That sounds like it could be good. And I left the first class, like, I could literally, the sky is blue. Like the trees, like the trees are freaking green. This is really pretty right here. That, like, had not been my perception for like a solid 8 or 9 months. So I think what ended up happening in that time, I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into that, but I think I was allowing myself to stay in a place where I was completely identifying with perhaps a set of emotional waves, where I was believing that this was because of me, where I was believing that, or the circumstances or something that I had done or not done. And yeah, it can make you just spiral into all this self-criticism, into like really intense despair and fear. And it's like daunting. You can't even seem to find your way out of it. So for me personally, moving my body, breathing, and being aware of what sort of non-physical fluctuations are going on in that physicality, in that safe space. Like when you're in like a yoga classroom, you're not like being threatened by anything. Like nobody's going to come at you and ask you about how you feel. You're just literally having to feel things.
Yeah.
And so you feel better at the end because you learned how to feel more. You know? So it's like because I was like giving myself time and space to like allow it, it could move through. You can metabolize the emotion or the sensations, or even like pick up on what the thoughts are that you're trying to like tell a story about that feeling. And then you realize that's actually not real or true, or, you know, you could question or argue with that. So, this last wave though, I was not able to be as proactive. I did not like, you know, and when I mean, I'm like, I get up and I practice every day. Like I roll out of bed. I do either like an actual practice for like an hour, or maybe it's like, I've only got 10 minutes. I do a sun salutation or two, breathe, like a little breath work practice, maybe sit in stillness and observe my breath. Like it can be as simple as that. Or, and sometimes it's like, I'm literally sitting, laying in my bed because I'm exhausted, but I do some stretches, like some bed yoga, and that might be it. But those are some of the things that I think of are being proactive, because it allows you to attune to what's going on in your energy. And, but like you said, sometimes it can take you totally off guard. You could be in the middle of a day. So I was like in the middle of a day, hadn't done a lot of proactivity that morning. It was maybe like 5 minutes. And I just sort of had to jump into activity. And I also had just too much on my plate, which as a Manny Gen, it's something I'm constantly working on, saying no, not trying to save the day for everything, all the time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, had a huge like amount to tackle that day. And I couldn't take the time to slow down. And things continued to come up. So it was like feeling the onset of this like spiraling thought, talking bad about myself, and the low feeling that that sucks you into while you're having to push through and like finish the laundry. And then I got to go pick up a teenager and deal with her and the attitude. Sorry, Scarlett, I love you. But when you're moving through stuff like that, it's you're resisting. You're resisting the emotional wave. So even if I had just taken, okay, I'm not going to get this laundry done right now. I'm going to take 10 minutes. I'm going to go walk. I'm going to go move my body. I'm going to be like in my breath. Sometimes for me, because I don't know if it's my throat chakra and like the way that I've talked about how energy does move through my throat, sometimes I have to just talk out loud. And I need to be in a safe place to do that, because I don't want to let my emotion like dump all over everybody around me, right? So that's, I think, why a lot of times we're containing it, but then we're just making it worse. As we're trying to pretend like we're not feeling it.
Yeah.
So if we can just, you know, if I could go walk, and if my sister is available, I mean, I'm calling her because she's amazing and she will listen to me and any of my whatever. I do my very best to try not to complain though, or to be like, I'm having a wave. Like I'm feeling sorry for myself, because complaining makes it worse. Blaming makes it worse. Anytime I try to like that woe is me, or like I got too much to do, and no, like I just have to literally be like, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling all this stuff, and like these kinds of things are coming to the surface with it. And it's like from that place of observation, can I be more curious about what that's all about? So that can help. And if no one is available to call, which really the best thing to do is to either be in your car alone, take a walk alone, or to lay on your floor alone and just talk to the creator or to the universe about what you're feeling. So it took me a while, like I said, probably into the next day when I realized you're just making it worse by resisting this and not carving out space to feel it. And finally, I was just like, all of this fear is coming up, fear of unworthiness, fear of like being abandoned, which is like so silly. I'm 42 years old. Like nobody's leaving me. And if they do, I'm fine. Like, you know, it's so weird, but these little things kind of, it's like the onset of a wave can just spiral into the weirdest, unsettled stuff inside of you.
Yeah.
So I find that the best thing that you can do is to catch it right then and there and do your very best. If you have to excuse yourself to the bathroom for a little extra time, to like put your hands on your heart and just feel it. But it's a lot of times it's just not convenient. Like you don't want to be in the middle of a lunch where you're enjoying yourself and have to go feel a wave. You know, so sometimes it's just going to be there in the background until you can take space for it.
This is why it's also helpful to teach people about human design, because then you can very much understand what's going, like help each other through a wave. Mm-hmm. You know, I, earlier today, my first thing was like, okay, I'm going to try to take a nap because I thought it was maybe just exhaustion. Couldn't take a nap. So I was like, okay. So I went and walked to the pool. I was like, okay, well, it's sunny outside. So walking and vitamin D will mm-hmm. help. So mm-hmm. I walked to the pool, and at the pool, I put in my earphones and like turned on Spotify and turned on some music that would normally make me in a good mood. Nothing. Like it's like my heart could not hear the music. Nothing. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm in a wave. This sucks. Like there's like the normal music that would get you to be excited and flip it off. It does not work.
No.
So then I turned on a sad song and that helped. Mm-hmm. And I just cried a little bit. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay. It was a song that makes me think of my dog who died in 2020. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay, here we go. Like this feels yeah. good. And right. then I talked to one of my friends that knows about human design that I'm doing Kabbalah with. And I talked to my husband who knows about human design. He's emotional. So he understands. And I didn't, with both of them, I was like, this sucks. And I want to go into victim mode. And mm-hmm. I just am realizing that this is how people who have emotional waves feel like. And so I'm going to use it as a positive of becoming a better human design coach and knowing what this actually freaking feels like. And that's why I'm going through it, you know? So I sort of, instead of like bitching about it or going into victim mode, I was like, I want to go into victim mode and I want to complain about it, but
really easy to do.
Yeah. And it's
weird. It feels more, good. It does feel good.
It does
when
feel good.
You go there, but then you start to feel worse.
Yeah. It gives you instant gratification of complaining.
Exactly.
But then you feel sort of drained of energy afterwards. But it was interesting because I kept it positive when I was talking to both of them. I'm not somebody who has to verbally process stuff. I really don't. I don't verbally process my emotions, but when I'm in a wave, I sort of, that's the only way to do it. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's frustrating because it feels very vulnerable. Like you might say something that you don't mean, or you might say something that will offend someone. And so it feels very risky, but that's why I feel like the Kabbalah work has been so great that you've been guiding me through and working on. Sometimes I do journal as well. Like that can help. Mm-hmm. Definitely the music, or like even watching a movie, even especially one that I know is going to like bring on some emotion.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's going to serve in that way, can be really, really helpful to just, it's almost like it can bring clarity to what you've blocked before mm-hmm. in emotion.
Yeah.
So like, and for you, maybe what you've absorbed from other people that has been misunderstood, or it can definitely like help you process things. I wanted to read through something that I journaled about for you about it. I don't know. Did you want to add on anything else about that before I do?
No, just, I also think that we're recording this around the time of the new moon of Pisces. And I just realized I'm Pisces rising. And most of my life, I've sort of just pushed my emotions down. So that probably has something to do with it too. It's just my water sign nature and all of these things sort of flowing. So
that makes a lot of sense. My son is a Pisces. Yeah. So I was thinking about that, all of this stuff with the emotions ever since I listened to that podcast. And then I was, you know, when I plan my teaching for the week, a lot of times there's like a theme, and through journaling, sometimes things come through. And whether it's journaling what the specific emotional wave that I'm experiencing, or just like kind of post meditation inspired thought. So this is something that I wrote. So your emotions are just energy in motion, right? And therefore creating any resistance to its flow is sure to be observed as an interruption, a distortion, or chaotic. And for some reason, the imagery of like cars on a freeway, because I spend so much time driving, are just like cruising along until we notice like a vehicle on the side of the road. And then, and maybe there's emergency response, and it takes every other driver out of the flow to a cascade of spiraling negative or adverse effects. So even if you've been like smooth sailing with a positive outlook, it just often takes a minor interruption to set off a whole bunch of reactions. And so when we're being like a looky-loo, we're searching for the cause, the blame, getting caught up in making a whole story about what happened, complaining that we're going to now be late, like whatever it might be, wandering down the spiral, landing in a new low vibe of hopelessness or worthlessness without even realizing how you got there. Mm-hmm. So what can make it better is to, and with this sort of metaphor, it's like if you could stay in the observing sensations, hands gripping on the wheel, eyes maybe wandering, a wandering thought, you're noticing your heart rate, your shoulders, kind of tightened, your jaw tightened, a jagged or retained breath. If you can just keep your attention ahead, along with those sensations of yourself, stay present and patient, the permission to giving, not to give in to the relief of a thought. And that, like you were saying, it's like the instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And just in that moment, just ask to be given more presence, more courage, more clarity, more certainty, more strength, and to be given the feeling that it's all going to be okay, that you're going to be guided towards your desired destination. I love that. So yeah, that was something that came through of like, it can be really difficult to find compassion for yourself when you're having a wave.
And I think most people's initial reaction to a wave, as was mine, was like, well, why'd this happen? What's going on? Like, we're trying to go up into our mind and make it logical. And it's not, emotions are not logical most of the time, especially for somebody with a defined solar plexus. It's like, you don't know. You don't know that it's going to happen. It is not based on external situations. If you get an emotion based on external situations, that's not an actual emotion. That's like you had a way you thought something was going to go and it didn't work out that way. Do you know what I mean? Like a reaction.
Or even like a trigger or a trying to control.
Yes.
And it, you know.
Yes.
That's just normal. Everyone experiences that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's different. It's like, and I mean, I think I've spent my entire life like being irritated with myself and thinking surely I did something wrong or surely I could have done something different about this situation that wouldn't make me be feeling like this. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine if like how many of us out there are emotional and don't know it and are thinking this is them? I mean, no wonder people are in so much pain.
Yeah. Dude, I have to call myself out. I'm a human design coach. And it is only recently that I have not made my emotional husband not feel bad for his emotional waves.
Yeah.
Like a human design coach of all people should be having some empathy and grace towards that. But grace is one of my gifts that I'm moving from shadow to gift to. So that's just a whole other thing. But it's like, dude, this is why people need to know about this. This is why we need to be talking about it. This is why we need to dive into our charts if you're open to it. I'm excited too. I want to touch really quick. I know a lot of other people listening also have your incarnation cross the Cross of Eden. It's pretty cool too, because 36 is all about solving emotional issues. And then that 6 is that sexual gate, that attunement to intimacy, which is very like the whole vibe of your podcast, Nourish you. Yeah. Like that is six vibes. It's so absolutely perfect. And I didn't even think about that. Did you
I hadn't mean thought that? About that? Not in that way, okay. But so, yeah. Yeah.
Very.
To be intimate with yourself is all of those things, mm-hmm. is to figure out what you need, what you desire. And it's not all about sexual pleasure.
Yep.
Yep. But and I think that is one of the things to transform within this incarnation cross is to realize that though you seek this like ultimate perfection of intimacy with others, whether that be your partner, your friendships, your family, what you really are striving for is that union with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that has more to do with like, it's your soul. It's your union with all of creation. Mm-hmm. So in that way, that's really the premise of the whole show and really all the big overall umbrella. Like even when I was just educating about aromatherapy, mm-hmm. 15 years ago, which I still do believe that actually is part of what my practice is with emotions too, because it can help you process in your limbic brain. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the biggest thing is that the overall theme is that I'm seeking to help people find like a true lasting liberation from suffering. Mm-hmm. Through your body, through your mind, through your soul, because in yoga, we talk about the word yoga, it means to yoke or unite or to bring together in equal ways. The human experience is you're a spiritual being having this human experience, mm-hmm. but we so often just identify with the body or so often are identifying like I am my thoughts, or we get over spiritualizing things that like God is some external thing that's always going to be out there when it's really a spark and a part of us that it's our responsibility to learn how to bring it through.
Yeah. Yeah. That gate in particular, you know, it can activate in some people as very sexual, but from a higher point of view, that gate is a little bit more about getting to be able to have that. Because in that chakra, that's, you know, your sexual organs and whatever, that's the chakra of creation and creativity and your gut and like all of that kind of stuff. And we all are meant to be creators. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's just so much extra gunk or toxins or mm-hmm. clutter or whatever, or we're living too much in our mind and we need to like in Kabbalah, clean out our vessel and then mm-hmm. expand our vessel and then act like the creator and create and receive.
Yeah. And not be overly in your sexual energy mm-hmm. either. I mean, that has certainly gone through its transformation in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. I mean, I don't know a ton about it in that gate, in that sense. So maybe you can, if you know any more of how it shows up for others, but certainly it's like, I would say been like very predominant and even like a troublemaker. And so one of the limbs of yoga is to, there's these like ways of living, the yamas and the niyamas, the things that you're supposed to practice and the things you're supposed to not practice in like lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like a sexual sort of like restraint or mm-hmm. control and the right use of your sexual energy mm-hmm. so that you're never manipulating. And also you're not just totally expending your energy. Like you yep. need to learn how to hone and channel it. So I think that is maybe that must be part of the high end of that, the wisdom that's available there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, Kabbalah is a tenet mm-hmm. of human design. So it's pretty similar, the Kabbalistic technology with like honoring your sexuality and using it correctly.
Yes.
It's like a whole thing. So I'm sure that's very similar. But this is even, it's sort of more like sex is coming together in a union. Yeah. And so I feel like this vibe is the unity that's required for actually being a creator, because God, the creator, only shares unity. He does not share polarity. There's not polarity, right?
Right. Right.
And we have so much polarity. This just is what it is. We live on earth. It's imperfect. It's black and white. It's negative. It's positive. There's like polarities. There's poles. The North Pole and the South Pole. Like that's just, it just is on earth that way. And our souls don't work that way. There's not polarity in our souls. There's only love. Like unity and love, and that's all. And it's almost like there's a cleansing required before an actual union can take place where something perfect is created. And that's sort of the sixth vibe to me. Like we're all one. We need to see that. We need to see that we're all a lot more alike than we are different. And the differences are just illusions, really. I'm not talking about personality differences. I'm like talking about basic humans, just basics, want to love and be loved and feel safe.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Came from the same place and we're all going back to the same place.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the vibe. And I think you're going to do a beautiful job activating that gift with your podcast. Just to wrap up, tell us, okay, I know that you are on Instagram. I know you're not on it all day long, which I love. I'm going to put your Instagram link in the show notes. I'm going to put your podcast link in the show notes. Make sure everybody goes, clicks on it, press subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes come out. And then I'm going to put your website up there. Tell us, I know you have a few different freebies on your website. Tell us a little bit about that and what people can find on there.
There is there's several different little eBooks that you can grab. There's a mocktail recipe guide.
Love it.
There's a guide for, it's marketed for a teen athletes yoga program. But if you are someone who's fairly new to yoga and you would like to implement a little bit of what I've described, that's like 6 minutes morning or evening, definitely go check out that guide because there's some really good basic information about why yoga and what that could look like. You know, it doesn't have to look like Lululemon. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be flexible to do it. It's literally just a practice that's going to get you into breathing, for one, conscious breathing that's actually benefiting the purification of your blood, that's going to align some stuck energy that lives along your spinal column and within your organs to create a better flow in your overall energy so that you can be kinder to yourself and to others. But it also has various benefits just physically on the body, whether you know any of it that's happening to you or not. So in this ebook, it's got some really good descriptions about all of that. And then there's a couple of like links to YouTube tutorials, some guided videos that you can try. And hopefully within the next year, I will continue to add more and more on there. That's my goal with the podcast, to also give you maybe a little recipe in each show, and then some kind of a practice that you can find over on YouTube, linked up in every show that kind of correlates to whatever the theme is of that conversation.
That's so perfect. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. By the time this show comes out, the podcast is already out, so start binging. You will love it. I've listened to the trailer, and I know a lot of your ideas for some of your first few episodes, and they're going to be so, so friggin' good. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for being a role model to all the Manygens out there who think that they have too many spinning plates. You can do it. Lauren can be your role model and expander for that. Thank you for coming on the show. Everybody go give Lauren a follow, subscribe to her podcast, check out her freebies. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Allison.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you so very much for tuning in to another episode of You Do Woo. I know that you already have a very full life and that there are literally millions of podcasts that you could be listening to. So I'm super grateful to you for being a loyal listener. And I'm so grateful for you sharing your favorite episodes with friends and family members. That is how we are able to serve more people and raise the collective consciousness and really get the word out on a bunch of these fun spiritual topics that we're talking about. I would love to connect with you. Send me a DM on Instagram at youdowoo, all one word. I'd love to hear how you loved today's episode and just a little bit about you. I can't wait to connect.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid podcast.